Ryan Dempster.
Steve!
Freeman, oh, he caught it right into the palm of Dempster's glove. Ooh, that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go, go!
That was outstanding.
Ryan Dempster. We are very pleased to have Ryan Dempster with us all baseball season long. And in the afternoons with Ro, you can hear Woody, Kerry Wood, and Ro Khan. Ro Khan with Anna DeVantis. Dempster joins us now. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm great, guys. I'm just sitting here getting ready to watch the Masters. I got my driver, Into the Water, Eddie. And my trusty, uneasy Edward 8-iron. So.
Yeah, I feel your pain. Lots of offense so far. Now, certainly some decent pitching, and we saw it in the Cubs opener. But around baseball, lots of home runs.
Yeah, no, they're all around baseball. I mean, a ton of them. These young kids can hit, man. They really can. There's a lot of a lot of good ball players out there, a lot of excitement. It's been a great fun week here with opening week, and the Cubs, what a great start they got off to.
What's harder from a pitcher's standpoint, April or August?
August. You know, you get into those hot dog days of summer where you've already logged, you know, upwards of over 150 innings, and stuff starts kind of getting dragging. You may be fighting through a little bit of soreness or some fatigue or some tendonitis, but I always found April for me was always that fun month where it was still a little cold and the hitters didn't like hitting. They're bundled up. They look like the Michelin men. It's kind of my chance to take advantage of that.
I remember a Pinella story about you when you were closing a game for Lou in Cincinnati, and it was early, may even have been the opener, and a couple of guys are on late, and, you know, it's 12 degrees. And with appropriate editing for language here, I believe Lou's advice was something like, get him the F out because I'm cold.
Yeah. I'll never forget that story, man. It was so awesome. You know, I hadn't pitched since we were in Las Vegas for some exhibition games. And it's like the first time in about 6 days I'm pitching. I get the first guy out. I walk the next guy, and I go 2-0 on Griffey. And here comes Lou out of the bullpen. We're winning 8-1. And I'm like, what's he doing? And he comes out, he goes, son, for editing purposes too, he goes, it's 30 degrees out. Throw the ball over the plate and let him hit it.
Yeah, Fidel's the best.
To do skip, and he just turned around and walked away. It was pretty great.
And I believe the next pitch edited, didn't it?
Shortly after that. The next pitch, while he was still on the field, by the way, I don't think he'd made it back to the dugout yet. ended up being another ball, so thank God he had his back to the field and didn't see that one. Otherwise, I might have been out of there.
But you did get out after that. I do remember that.
Yeah. I did, yeah. It was great.
Ryan, what struck you about the starts for both Arrieta and Lester in the Cubs' first two wins?
Yeah, I just think the poise, like the command, the total control they seem to be in. You know, right from Jump Street, it wasn't like, you know, sometimes you see it's opening day, it's your first start of the year, you get those kind of those jitters, maybe a few walks. It felt like, you know, just they were settled in pretty darn quickly. And I think it set a tone for this is what we're expecting out of ourselves this year. You know, and then it's obviously nice when you're able to score runs like that and get you to be able to relax a little bit more to the point where, you know, you're not worried about solo homers because you're up three or four runs, the next thing you know, five or six. And just both guys did a tremendous job of filling up the strike zone, especially once they got ahead in the game. And it was just a treat to watch both of them pitch already.
Yeah, another question, a little nuancy pitching stuff, though. Let's say you're in a three-game series and the first two guys just blow the doors off. Now the offense for the other team is a little aggravated. Is that a good night for you or a bad night to be third on that list?
I always liked that. I liked being the third night just because, especially I felt like if a team didn't score runs the first couple games, they're going to be really anxious to try and put some runs on the board. Right. And if you're smart enough, you can take advantage of that by just kind of dialing it back a little bit, you know, teasing them with sliders or change-ups and using their anxiousness, their aggressiveness to your advantage. And especially towards late in my career when, you know, the catcher didn't need his glove to catch me anymore. He could have just gravity was taking over. I really enjoyed that last game of the series.
A lot of things have been coached out of baseball. Some of the, you know, classic things like being able to move a runner and, you know, I mean, bunting is the obvious example. But another thing seems to be patience. On a young team like the Cubs, how important is patience going to be down the road to, you know, make a pitcher do a little work?
Yeah, I think, you know, that was one thing to me that stood out, actually, so much about their lineup was, I think we saw the most pitches in baseball per at bat. And, you know, Joe really preaches that. He preaches, you know, wearing a pitcher down and fighting off tough two-strikes approach. And, you know, when you can do that and you can get in that mentality of fighting off pitches to the point where now all of a sudden you do get your pitch to hit. Because pitchers are good. These guys are – the major league pitchers are really good. And a lot of times, and when you're facing really good ones, you might only get one pitch in an entire bat that you can hit. And if you're fighting off those really tough ones on the corner and, you know, shortening up your swing so you're not trying to just always hit a homer, that eventually you'll get in a position where he might hang a breaking ball or a fastball might leak over the plate. And I think we do a really good job of that. The guys go out there, they battle really hard, and I think you're going to see an even better job of that this year when you bring in guys like Ben Zobrist and Jason Hayward who don't strike out a lot, and other guys start to feed off that and go, oh, wait, I don't want to strike out either. And, you know, it definitely plays a huge role because you can do that. You can wear some guys down early in a series, and the next thing you know, you get into their bullpen on that day one. That pays huge dividends throughout the rest of that series.
And another thing I'm going to say, I've won over 1,800 games in a manager, and I'm not a damn dummy. That I can tell you. Okay? There are only 13 others that have won more games than me. So I guess I think I know what the hell I'm doing. I don't care about talking to them. I'm talking to you for them. But I'm tired of it. You know, and Steve Stone, he's got enough problems doing what he does with the White Sox. What job has he had in baseball besides talking on television?
God, I miss Lou. I called him a couple weeks ago. He told me a story about fishing and golf, and it had the same sort of tune. You know, he got more agitated while he was talking. He's the best. I tell you, Debs, all you got to hear is a little bit of Lou, and it's a good day.
It is, man. I love Lou. I really enjoyed playing for him. You know, he was he's a smart baseball man, and he treated me really well and provided some serious comic relief at times.
Ryan, remember that day back in spring training, oh, I don't know, early last month when Dexter Fowler surprisingly showed up at Mesa and no one seemed to know that he was going to be there? And now you look at what he's done the first two games. How important has this guy been to the Cubs lineup? I mean, we saw it last year, but through the first two games this season, it's really evident.
Yeah, you know what? He sets the tone at the top of that lineup. He's a tremendous leadoff hitter. He sees a lot of pitches. You know, there's nothing better than when you're batting second or third and the leadoff guy goes up there. Well, first, there's nothing worse than the leadoff guy going up there and swinging at the first pitch. Half the time, you haven't got your batting gloves on yet. You're just getting prepared, whereas, you know, Dex will go out there and he's going to see some pitches. He's going to foul off some tough pitches. He's going to get you a chance to get your timing in the on-deck circle. And on top of all of that, I think what stood out the most is you watched the response when he showed up. All those guys were so excited to see him. He meant that much to the team. And I think that was so much more important than what the product was going to be on the field. The lineup was already so good, and then you're just making it better with a guy that everybody loves, that clubhouse. They all love each other. They care about each other. They're pulling for each other. It's a special group of guys to be around him. I'm glad I have a chance to be around them and see what they do, and I'm expecting them to have just another great year this year.
Morning, Ryan. Morning, neighbor. Former neighbor.
Morning.
Hey, I want to ask you, I know it's opening week, but do you see Zobrist and Soler more specifically being long-term on this team this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. I think, I think that obviously, you know, the higher-ups, the people in charge making all these big decisions, they felt like, you know, Soler wasn't a part of something, I'm sure he probably would have been gone this winter. And I just look at the strides he made, the hard work he's put in the outfield, that as time goes on, you know, in baseball terms, he's still a young guy. He doesn't have a ton of games played, and he's just learning his craft. And very few guys in this game can have that kind of power that he does to be able to just hit the ball out of the ballpark from one foul pole to the other foul pole. And I think he'll benefit from not having to face some of the tough righties that he would have to face and just get those positive at-bats that continue to build the confidence. But, yeah, I think it just provides huge depth for our lineup and a chance for us to give guys breaks. And Zobrist, what an addition this guy is, man. Just to sit around and watch him on a day-to-day basis, the way he prepares, and these young guys are going to learn so much from him.
You know, the White Sox have gotten off to a good start as well. They're 2-1 yesterday, a 2-1 loss, and a lot of times last year there wasn't a whole lot of offense. I mean, it's way too early to get concerned, Sox fans, about whether or not they're going to hit this year. But I see a lot of real positive sides to that ball club as well.
Oh, for sure. You know, that's the thing. Is last year, to me, was going to be the exception, not the rule. They went out and signed all these ball players, free agents, and, you know, made these moves, and some of them, they didn't pan out. Well, that means that those guys have a track record, and they're due for bounce-back years to go out right there on the field. And I think, you know, the addition of Todd Frazier is going to be huge. This guy, the energy he brings to the field every day in the dugout, in the locker room, he's a great personality. He's going to put up huge numbers offensively in the middle of that lineup. And I think you're going to see a bounce back year from a few guys. And I think they're going to be a much better team than they were last year, I think. And they got a great, you know, especially their first three guys. When you have Sale, Quintana, and Rodon, they got a top three force there and a really good back end of the bullpen, too. So I think way bigger things out of them this year than last year. And that'll be good for White Sox fans.
You know, and we've talked about that park ad nauseum for years, but I never understood the flack about the park. Wrigley's always going to be Wrigley, but it's not hard to get to. There's plenty of parking, and they're building sort of an entertainment district around it. They've done it slowly, but they are doing that as well. So I hope Sox fans support that club a little better than they have in the past.
Yeah, me too. You know, I always enjoyed going down there and playing there. I think once you get inside there, you look out, it's a beautiful park. It really is. They did a good job with it. You know, it's a shame that they don't get more fans than they do on a regular basis. I know for some series they'll get a, you know, pretty big crowd in there and once playoffs come, stuff like that. But they put a good team on the field. I hope that they get the fans that they deserve because it's a fun place to go watch a game.
What are you doing today? Just watching the Masters in your underpants? What are you doing, sitting around?
Absolutely. I'm thinking about putting my regular pants on, and then I'm working out here in New York for the MLB Network this morning.
Well, you should definitely wear pants for that.
I was thinking that unless they just keep me behind the desk and I don't even have to worry about it.
That's a good point.
It's a good TV
fair
trick.
Point. No, it's a fair point. See, that's why you're an expert. Listen, buddy, appreciate it. We'll talk to you in a couple days.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thanks, Ryan Dempster from your Chicago Cubs Legends. And does a great job talking baseball. Again, don't forget Woody with Rokan and Anna on Thursday afternoons as well. So, and again, whenever we need these guys, we'll call them.
I'm calm now.
I mean, for like tickets and stuff or just to call him?
Well, whenever Lou says, but I called Lou and this is what he said. And I said, Lou, I got to go.